think some people thought that CERN is kind of like a god machine or something so advanced. The strange thing was nobody really knew. While we were there, they didn't really know the ultimate purpose or who's behind the design. Why do the Italians run CERN there in Geneva, Switzerland? Ragged Edge Radio broadcast, Russ Dizdar, Artilex, the God Machines, as we talk tonight concerning, well, the prophetic side of Scripture that gives that insight, tells you what's going to be happening all the way to the very last day of human history. It involves a, again, dark side shaping of it. I don't want to repeat over and over, but there's no way of looking at reality without seeing that dark side hand, non-human entities. Now, billions around the world, they know they're engaging entities all over the place, masqueraded, of course. Body of Christ understands this, but there is still the world as a whole is blinded. Hey, there's 2 Corinthians 4:4 that we need to understand in all of this as we actually deal with the world that we're trying to reach. There's a supernatural side to even keeping listeners from hearing everything. Well, you're listening to the Ragged Edge Radio broadcast tonight. Let me tell you something tonight. I've got to tell you something tonight personally. This is February the 13th, and I've been off a couple days. And when I'm off, either I'm on the field, SIIU, the core team, or we're at a conference doing something. And then sometimes, every once in a while, well, this week, daughter's been in the hospital a number of times, very sick, flu, those kind of things. So she's come here to stay. We've got the granddaughter here. Her husband's at work. My wife's taking care of things. She's very sick. Doing a little better today, but now the little one's gotten sick. Now, as I'm studying Elon Musk, I'm looking over the content from Hugo Degaris, the world expert on AI and Artilex, the God Machines. And I'm into all this tech and quantum computers and how fast they're going to make things in a, well, the smaller than nano seed. I'll read that and I'll quote that to you in a little bit here. So here's how real life works. Working all that, thinking about what we need to do in reaching everybody, listening to the calls that have come in today concerning trouble. We'll get to some of you today. And listen, and here's the exciting thing. To know God in the midst of all of this, to know that, to know Him, His presence, power, promises, the content, the world's raging, the coronavirus. What is it? Is it really an aardvark or a bat? Where did this pathogen? Is it a pathogen? Is it a virus? Are there more than 1,300 deaths now reported in the Philippines and Japan and Hong Kong and cases in the United States? So I listened to one expert today. They said it's not going to be long before there's those recorded dead in the United States also. I think in terms of the weaponization, the possibility of that. All the experts, I found no expert that can tell me that this coronavirus, flu, or whatever it really is, that it's definitively from a strange animal. There's a bio lab there. And then I see President Xi. As I'm working on this, of course, I have news there. So on the big screen TV around, I'm looking up. There's President Xi with one of those masks on, coming out to kind of in a distance, in a sense, talking to the people. 50,000 people infected. And people are dying every day. And there's cruise ships where the people aren't even allowed to get out of their cabins or open windows. This is, if you think in terms of weaponizing, you know, kind of a bioweapon, a pathogen, that's part of what we might see in the end of days when hundreds of millions die. Now, that's, let me get away from that just a moment. I want to say welcome again to everyone around the world. Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. If you're brand new, welcome. And we're grateful that God has brought you here. Maybe our prayers opened the door to this today. And We believe that God's at work right now, even as you're listening, that God would be at work engaging you. And because there's good, Jeremiah 29:11, that's my approach in evangelism. John 3:16 and 3:17 is my approach to you, because I know God loves you and he's come for you and he's seeking you. And if you don't know him yet, the good news is beyond quantum computers and physics and nano anything, beyond Artelex, clearly, God is God. And he's come for you. There's a way to indestructible immortality. It's a way to defeat death, to defeat the dark stuff inside of us, the sin issues, and to know God personally. And so I want you to hear me today. That's the bias I have. I'm making it very clear in the beginning, whatever I talk about, whatever subject, that's clear. I want you to know him. There's no question. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. Whatever your sins are, whatever your vileness is, for some of you, for others, you're just questioning. And I know how big God is. That old rugged cross, what happened there, if I can say it this way to Hugo, to the Chinese, well, all of those, Ray Kurzweil and the rest that we're reading right now, again, when it comes to the future and technologies, because that's going to play a big part. Not just politics, not just military alone, in a sense, and the economics that's needed, but the tech that's needed. And all of that's spiritually gripped and energized. There's an energy. I mean, there's a presence behind a lot of it. So we're going to take a look at that today as we touch on tonight and tomorrow, God machines, Artelex, and an engagement of what God, how God responds back even in Scripture. I think there's Scripture. This is not something that surprises God. Can I just give you one little tidbit? When it comes to God being infinite, omniscient, you can't surprise God. You can be surprised all day long. You can surprise others all day long. You can be fascinated by your discoveries. But you got to understand something. God is so far beyond that. And God is God. Capital G. We'll get into that today. So today I'm working on this, God machines, artificial intelligence, reading books, listening to it in Audible, and all that I'm doing in the studies, and watching this virus thing going along, knowing what I had to do this week, and taking care of family members. Now, the little one's down today, so I'm in that room. My wife had to go away. She already had plans today to do some things at another family's house. She'll be back, but my daughter's here sick, and then there's my little one, that little baby's there in the bed. I'm trying to work on materials early this afternoon, trying to get a grasp of some of the things I want to share with you. Let me tell you how it works sometimes. Let me let you know that I live real life, okay, even as a grandfather. So the baby begins to cry, and crying more, leans up. She's on the bed over there, so I'm looking over, asking her what's going on. She's holding up her hand. She's fighting, and she's kind of quarreling. And now I know this is going to be funny, but it's just, I got to let you know, that it was kind of, I'm working on artificial intelligence issues in the end days issues, and my granddaughter had a booger on her finger, and she couldn't get it off, and she's goes one hand to the next hand, and she's literally not feeling good. Her face is red, and I'm trying to take care of her and get her a banana, get her some water. She likes to drink out of one of my little espresso cups. She likes my espresso little glass cups, ceramic, and so I get everything there for her. She has this difficulty, so I got to get up off the chair for the third time to go over there and help take care of getting that thing off her finger so she can lay back down and rest a little bit. She fell asleep. And so we're here to broadcast to you live in the context of real life, real days, real stuff. I'm supposed to shovel the snow out there. That's how it is in the city. You're supposed to take care of your sidewalks. It was only about 2 inches, and then it got some icy in bed. I need to get out there today. I'm behind today. I've got the prayer map journal, new audios to go up. Should have been done today already, but we were delayed this week and delayed today. We'll put them up tonight. Book of Acts, more content up late tonight, tomorrow. And we'll just keep plowing away. And good news, praising God. You know, I got some anointing oil today. Just took a little tiny touch on my finger to touch her head and pray for her today. See, that's the good news. And I've seen God heal, and I've seen God do things. That's why I did that, to pray for healing today. Even Jesus relieved the fever, I believe it was, of Peter's mother when they visited the house. So that's part of living life also. Hey, Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast, if you want the live notes, like an outline, go to theraggededgeradio.com. TheRaggedEdgeRadio.com. You'll see where it says live notes. Now, the reason I'm saying get those today is because we have I have on there links to Hugo de Garis' major paperwork on the God Machines, Artilex. This is the cutting edge of literally of artificial intelligence. And it's vital for us to understand. And tomorrow night, on those same live notes, if you got those live notes, you're going to see Friday night, I got outline questions. You're going to see where I pulled from Job and Isaiah some things. I also got a resource on just a book I read years ago. I think it's a good book, simple to read, on the nature and character of God, dealing with the attributes, the infinity. I mean, this is my problem, even with when I was there in when I was there at the 2045 transhumanist meeting, they could not describe, they couldn't describe human consciousness. They couldn't describe death, where it came from, other than not liking it and trying to beat it. So in all of this that I'm going to say today, I believe there's occultists that even listen to us, and we're glad you're here. We really are. And there are transhumanists. There are some of the world's cutting-edge artificial intelligence individuals. I mean, there's people in the DOD and DIA and weapons specialists in NASA and all that. And if you're one of those that's working on, you're working on weapons for the future and maybe kind of the weaponization of the God machines. Well, there's warning, and that's part of what I'm going to do this, and you're going to, you know, so can you, before you can think in terms of developing a God machine that Musk and others, I'll talk about him tomorrow, are terrified about. I mean, they're terrified concerning the destruction of humanity. But you got to realize something, that dark presence masqueraded that's energizing the development of this, their goal ultimately isn't to use it against humanity. Though a lot of humanity is going to go. It's all about the development of something that can engage an infinite, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipowerful God in that return we've been talking about in Revelation 19. So the live notes are right there. You can go to shatterthedarkness.net, top of the page, it says live notes, or theraggededgeradio.com and see live notes. Click on it, go down. You'll find the dates for this. If you're listening to this later, you can still get the notes. I leave them up there. So page one of the notes simply says the God machines and the theme behind this, invention or intention. What's the intention? Let me ask Hugo. Let me ask the Chinese. Let me ask weapons development specialists. Let me ask the physicist I met there in CERN, Pavel, when I was in Switzerland, there in Geneva, when we went there. And I asked a lot of questions. It was really like an answer to prayer, a providential thing, to have a physicist that actually runs, that works there, that starts up the machine, that turns it all on, that knows all about the Atlas and their attempt to get the God particle, which they can't, because they can't define God. There at CERN, they couldn't define God. They couldn't define the nature of God. I'm saying that occultists, that elitists, that even the top-level scientists and even philosophers, when you don't know God, you define, your attempts to define is always finite. You don't understand the magnitude, the infinity, the immeasurability. You don't understand that. And so I hope to express some of that today and tomorrow in this live broadcast. And whether you're listening, and many of you, by the thousands and thousands, by the way, again, welcome. In well over 150 nations around the world, I'm glad to say God loves you, God knows you, God desires you, God pursues you, and God is God, capital G, in comparison to the gods of men, to the gods of the demons, small g's, the finiteness. And it's important to understand the ultimate limitations. So when I read a little bit of Hugo's material to you today, I'm going to comment on it, because when I had dinner with him in Hickory last year, I didn't even know totally who he was. He was asking me more about my book than I was asking him about Artilex or whatever else. And it was a great conversation. I love listening to him. He loves to discuss and he loves to get involved, and I really like the man. And I wanted, but I didn't get the chance to sit down and go over the magnitude, the concept of the immeasurable God, in contrast to the evolving developments of the God machines, which is the evidence of its finiteness, no matter how big, broad, wide, huge, astounding in the eyes of fallen man it is. It doesn't begin to scratch the surface. Now, I'll talk more about that. Listen, welcome again. Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast. Less than 2 months away, we're going to be down there in Newark, Ohio, close to the, well, we're going to visit the Circle Mound where the ancient Nephilim would have been. And human sacrifice occurred in the Circle Mound. We'll talk about that down there. And we're going to have an incredible time. I just put up, added some things to the webpage, NephilimAgain.com, NephilimAgain.com. And I'm going to encourage you, because we sold out before, and we will not, if we sell out in advance, we'll tell you that, we won't be able to sell tickets at the door. You won't be able to get into the door. So I'm glad to see that it's about halfway filled up. But we're going to probably get there by the end of this month, or midway into March. We'll be getting close to, you know, full capacity. So please do sign up. All you have to do on the NephilimAgain.com page, go to the registration, fill that out, you know, do what you got to do there, you know, click on it. When you pay for the ticket, that is your receipt. We'll have you recorded. You'll be there. We have a workbook that we're going to have that you can go along with the speakers and other resources. I want, and I'm going to bring in the connection between the super soldier God men, small g, that the troops of Antichrist, and the whole evolution of that, if not backbreeding to or reappearance of Nephilim. I'm going to deal with the connection to the Artilex and why. And so in Armageddon, you're most likely to see Artilex that have been created to interface with an entity, fallen one. And I'll explain a little bit of that again today. I've done that already. And then what's it all about? So what we share today, Friday, tomorrow, part two of this, it's all questions. I'm going to try to answer your questions. I think there's like 11 of them. But I wanted to give you resources too, so don't forget the live notes if you can get there, or get them later on. We always have them there, and they're always there for later on if you are listening to stuff later. Want to see you in Hickory in April. We want to see you. We're going to be in, actually now, Spring, Texas, it looks like, May the 30th. I'll put that up. We have a major SIIU crimes-oriented, very content-filled, blood and guts kind of stuff, law enforcement level stuff, homeland security level stuff. It has everything to do with Mexico, the drug lords, the rituals behind it, and all that kind of stuff. And what are we as the body of Christ? What does the church do in response? Is it a spiritual warfare thing? Is pharmakia, the drug stuff, the drug lords, and all the rest of that, well, it is a major, major spiritual warfare issue, and has to be engaged that way also. So we want you to be there. If you've been filling out an application for SIU, that's one of the upcoming trainings we require you. We want you to be there, so I'll meet you later on May 15th and 16th. Now, the information is up. We put it out in the preempter. But we're waiting for the hotel to give us their details. So we'll have the registration up and the exact schedule ASAP. We're going to see some of you in Vancouver, British Columbia, there in June. We're going to see some of you in San Antonio, Texas, at the end of June. We're going to see many of you in Branson, Missouri, at the huge conference there. And again, I'll get into the Artelec and the we'll talk about that. Now we've got other ones coming up also. By the way, I want you to know Rome, Georgia, in October, Ball Ground, Georgia, in October. We are going to do another SRA, the Satanic Ritually Abused. Not the information on it this time, but all the healing aspects, how to heal, dealing with the demonic, dealing with programming, dealing with restoration. So in November, next November, the SIIU, we are going to sponsor another conference here locally, and it'll all be about the healing side of that. So I want you to know that. Please take a look, shadowthedarkness.net, and a lot of information there. Go there and look at all the stuff coming up. You can click on the conferences, get all the information on registration on two or three of them that are not up yet. They'll be up soon. You can register, and please do. It's an investment into your life. It's an investment into ministry, and it only helps us to engage all of this. And you know what? Let me say to the body of Christ, we should be at the cutting edge of all this. Spiritually speaking, and I want to reference Daniel in the darkest of times in human history in Babylon, where he and his others were assessed as being 10 times better than the top sorcerers and elitists of the day. So believers in Christ, packing yourself in the content of Scripture, knowing God, walking with God, this is why I say that you and I can become the powerhouse of God. The most supernaturally enhanced and knowledgeable person should be a human being that's come to know Jesus, Christ, God, and God dwelling in you and opening the totality of Scripture to you. Can't happen any other way. Not even with nanobugs. We'll talk about that in a moment, too. So in your notes, if you got that today, page one, I've got listed here. Did you see how God interacted with Job? How Job's going through all the painful things and stuff in a fallen world. You know, in the fallen world, we reap what we sow. People do get flus and colds and so forth. And, you know, there's death and dying and fighting and conflict and all the rest of that in a fallen world. The world that you and I live in is abnormal and is not the way it was meant. That's why we have soul sorrow. That's why it's a conundrum. That's why it's a conflict. Because inwardly, we know, don't lie, don't cheat, don't hurt, don't kill, don't do this. But people do. And maybe it's been done to you. And you know it's wrong and you don't like it when you're harmed. And obviously, others don't like it if you've harmed others. So evil is here. That's a reality. That's not in the equation, though. The content of God, capital G, the reality of radical evil and its presence that's here also is not in the grid of the elite scientists in artificial intelligence in the development of these things. Matter of fact, the big concern is there's a spiritual warfare aspect and a dark side breathing down the brains of the world's elite to get what's needed on the platform of human society to bring it all down, bring in the new order, and develop what needs to be developed, open the abyss that they're going to do. By the way, at CERN, I asked the physicist, he said no question about it. They're opening black holes. There's something on the other side. You know what I asked him? I looked right at the physicist, one of the scientists there at CERN. I said, do you ever look through it and see something looking back? He smiled. And he said, nope, not yet. But there's something there, yes. What's there? We don't know. Is it possible that you open a black hole, a gateway like that, and something come across? It's possible. Is it dangerous? Well, yeah, it's possible. Could it bring destruction to humanity? Yes, it could. What are these gateways and the entire technology of CERN, and they're building a big one, by the way, a bigger one, by the way. Is it a tool? Is it the keys that are gotten, Revelation 9, and able to help open the gateway of the abyss? So maybe those, maybe a lot of the alienologists and the those that, you know, maybe Giorgio and the rest of them that are looking for disclosure, well, let me say to all the ancient alienologists, disclosure will occur, and most likely what you see in Revelation chapter 9 is what you don't want to see coming down on the earth. Back to the God machines, back to this, is it invention or is it intention? I'm going to say intention, it's intended. The God machines, the development, all of this is intended. There's a spiritual drive for this. And for believers, it does involve high-level, global-size-level spiritual warfare aspects. It involves hundreds of millions of people and their lives and their destinies. Maybe yours, Job chapter 40, God's going to answer Job. Job's complaining. Job's in pain. Job's got destruction. Evil is, you know, evil is all around and has brought him down. It's huge. Most everyone I'm talking to have never gone through what Job has. But Job's gone through, as some would say on the streets, he's gone through hell. In a sense, hell's presence, that which is behind it, is engaged him. He didn't know it at first. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, prepare yourself like, listen, this is what I would say to Musk and Hugo and the Chinese AIs and the rest. And the weapons development individuals, to Ray Kurzweil, to the transhumanists. God responds in the midst of all the questions, all of the blame shifting, all of the dismissal of God while you're trying to become one. Here's what God says, verse 7. Prepare yourself now like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Will you indeed annul my judgment? Will you condemn me that you may be righteous? Have you an arm like God? Or can you thunder with a voice like him? Adorn yourself now with majesty and excellence, and array yourself with the glory and beauty. Let loose the rage of your wrath and look on everyone who is proud and abase him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together and imprison them in the hidden place of the grave. Have you read that? Have you read God speaking to... Now, he was being tempted to blame God. Spiritually speaking, there was something behind. And I want to say that I think the imprint of that is in much of the world, much of the world's development of warfare and weaponry. Blame shifting. It's got to be God. It's got to be a God at fault. And as God engages it, does that make you feel more righteous? Does that make you feel more, you know, justified by blaming God? I mean, is Richard Dawkins, by blaming God and blaming religion, does that make him feel more justified? Or does he see himself as a sinner that he is? Now in Isaiah 46, here's what it says, God again speaking, to whom will you liken me? I say this to the occultist all the time. See, when I engage the occultist, when I engage the man on the street, when I engage the elitist scientists and others, when I engage the physicists there or the attendees at the transhumanist meeting there in New York that we went to, when I engage them, when I engage, listen, when I was lost, I did not know the magnitude of God. God is God. And the self-revelation of God. In some, like Nicholas Wolterstorff would talk about the necessary being, the furthest one back, the one, the uncaused cause, the uncreated creator. Because if not, you're into a never-ending succession of if God created God, if God created us, who created God? If some other God created him, did some master race make us, and who made the master race? And you can keep going back on a finite level, back. But ultimately, you're back into the uncaused cause, the uncreated creator, the necessary being, uncreated, infinite, omniscient, omnipresent, all of that. And I'm going to say very clearly, I've never met a Satanist, I've never met an occultist, I've never met an atheist, I've never met an elitist in the context of, or even there in CERN, that even had a clue of the magnitude of God, capital G. It's always boiled down into a projection, human projection, occultic demonic projection, and always a small g God, you know, the evolution to godhood, really? You're going to become a god? Out of no pre-existent material, you're going to create something? And you're in a process to that? Well, the process itself already eliminates you from being the uncreated, unevolving, never needing to evolve, omniscient, omnipresent, immeasurable God. Isaiah 46, God speaking, to whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be alike? They lavish gold out of a bag and weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. They fall down and worship it. Now, let me stop. I think that's what's going to happen with the God machines. I have a feeling, a sense, that the artilects that are being developed will end up being the icon of the Therion, the image of the beast, Revelation, well, you've read it, right? 13? The image that is the false prophet, the Therion, the hybrid being, wants the world to accomplish and build and have an icon, meaning an exact representation of the Therion, of the Antichrist, of Satan, human skin. But it just sits there. It's just there until he breathes. He releases an entity to interface, to enter it, and only then does it become alive and speak. It would seem to have, in a sense, its own consciousness, but its own nature, because its nature serves the beast. Its nature is opposed to anyone who embraces the living God, the Christ of Scripture. It's important to understand that. There are going to be those that bow down to it. There are going to be those. Look at, and I say this to those in the backdrop of super soldiering. Revelation 19:19, super soldiers on the planet, if not hybrids, if not augmented, whatever. The ultimate master race in the development from Hell's Kitchen on, they're going to be there. Maybe as you spit in the face of God and embrace the lie and think that you're going to become a god in the future, it could be 200 million gathering in the Middle East, gathering around Israel, gathering around Jerusalem, with one goal: raise the weapons, the artilects, that which has been developed to kill God. Now, that's Revelation 19:19, but look at verse 20:21. So when all of that is decimated, the description clearly is that the hybrids, or the augments, the super soldiers, have embraced and worshipped, the icon of the Therion, the image of the beast. Now, I have a feeling, I think it's true that thing may be AI. It's going to be made. But in its construction and its development, its evolutionary development, Ray Kurzweil is in the process of that. Many others will talk about that. They don't yet know how to download human consciousness into an avatar. They don't know yet how to collect the brain, the whole of everything, and download it into a avatar. Some kind of they see death as a flaw. They want to build a body, an avatar, a thing that that they believe that they can work on the ability to download you, and they call it your consciousness, though they can't describe it, they think they can download you into that. They don't understand you are a human spirit inside. You ever read in 1 Corinthians that it's the spirit of man that knows the thoughts of a man? As I am speaking, you could be equating and thinking, you're like right there in your brain thinking your own thoughts, thinking and evaluating your thoughts, wondering what you believe he's saying, what wondering you. So the spirit of a man, they understand that. Transhumanists don't. I don't think the dark side wants them to understand the real nature of a human being, the real nature of where death and evil and the rest of it came from. They're not addressing that at all. Somehow they think they can just splice it away and bring something in, and where are they going to get the good? Where are they going to get that which they don't have and incorporate it into a new being altogether? And what they're missing is God has done this in his physics at the cross, where God has brought the fix for the broken construct of a human being. The sin code inside, the death code inside, is the evidence of the sin code. The wages of sin is death. And that, my friend, is infection. That is by personal choice. That is by the exchange of a living capital G God to embrace a finite, fallen, small g wannabe. Now, you can continue to read there in Isaiah, they referring to that which people make. So there are those that make things and put them up on, you know, idols. But I think that technologies can be idols, can become that. They lift it on the shoulder, then they carry it, and they set it in its place, and it stands. From its place, it does not move. If one shall cry to it, it cannot answer. Stop. That's why the whatever's created as the image of the beast, Revelation 13, once the entity enters into it, then it speaks. And then it can kill. It's weaponized. It cannot save him out of his troubles. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it to mind again, O transgressors. So we need to say this to Ray and to Hugo and to the vast array, Musk and all the rest. It's you that has the flaw inside. You know by your own life and living that people around you have done things wrong around you. It is a malfunction, but it's sin. We weren't made originally to cuss one another out, beat one another, kill one another, rape one another, warfare against one another, steal one another. We weren't made for that. It's foreign, but it's the reaping of what we sowed. It's the result of the choice that we as mankind made. We did this. So, O transgressor, God now speaks to the reality. You are, and I am. Verse 9, remember the former things of old. How far back can you remember? How much history have you read? Here's what it says. For I am God, and there is no other. Now we're talking infinite, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, omnirelational God. And you can go on with the attributes. I don't know if you ever studied systematic theology and dug into studying the attributes of God. And the full, Yahweh, Yahweh Adonai, Yahweh Sabaoth, Jehovah Jireh. El Shaddai, El Elyon, and you take the names of God that bring out the attributes of God, but in Christ in the New Testament, all of those names, all of the attributes are now in the fullness of deity in bodily form. And we'll talk about a perfect being. I mean, you could do this. You could open up the Gospel of John and just look at him. And read him, and study him, and listen. Because beyond nanotechnologies, beyond computer speeds, beyond anything quantum, that simple Bible is alive It has an interface. It is animated. It is permeated by the living presence of God. And as you open it up, it speaks. As you open it up, it's pouring forth speech. As you read each verse, it's God's intent to engage you and speak to you. It's why if you're in the dark side of things, you don't want to touch it. It's why the demons don't want you to touch it if you're an SRA and that kind of thing. You know that. Now, here's what he goes on to say. Remember the former things. God, this is now God speaking. Let God be God. You know, I know who I am. I know my life. I don't want somebody out there to talk about who I am, and I'm not that. To say, oh, he's 94 years old. I'm not 94 years old. Oh, he has long hair and a ponytail down to his back. I don't have long hair down to the middle of my back. Oh, he rides a bicycle. I don't ride a bicycle. I ride an Indian Chief motorcycle. So I can give self-revelation of me. You can observe my life and see my life and know my life. Even Jesus said, hey, they're known by their fruit, what comes out of their life. So you don't want people to give some false report, bad report, things like that. And I guess when we're lost in the mix of our own sin, the midst of our own repercussions, and the effects of the sins of others, let alone the reality of the dark side harming us. So then people just blame God. Is that it? God says, God unveils, God shows, and if you want to know the attributes, one thing to study that. I put a resource at the end of the life notes today of the nature of God. It's a good book just to read, a simple book. Anyone in the area of artificial intelligence, see, there are those that are there that are thinking that on the cutting edge of godhood and godlikeness in a sense. But it's a comparison of themselves with themselves and themselves with others and themselves with, past history. Because what they think is so cutting edge, well, 100 years ago, they thought what they had was cutting edge. If we're here for another 100 years, I'm sure that 100 years from now, what's being done now is going to be like matchsticks. Dust in the wind. But there's something more than just evolutionary technologies, and there's a factor in there that it doesn't drive anybody to the infinite level, even the fallen cherub. Think in terms biblically now, he's never become God. The finite, fallen, corrupted one, though he's suprahuman in powers and abilities, he's never been able to make himself God, let alone has the physics to make you, a New Ager, a Luciferian, a Mason, you can't become God. Not in any sense of capital G. And mostly it's because people don't understand. Now, I'm just reading the end of this on Isaiah. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. That's true. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Now, in the hands of the past, present, and future, only the infinite God has that. Only God can look at all four sides of a building at the same time, know the numbers of hairs on your head, know the moment of your conception, know your past, know your future, know all the contingencies, and know exact reality of what's going to happen. So that's God. And so when someone begins to think, well, this is God, this is God. Well, let me give you a little bit of this, Hugo. There's five major points tonight. If you got the notes, one, do they know the difference between God, capital G, and God, small g? And so I'm giving you some of that. The nature of God, at times is incomprehensible to fallen man, no matter how brilliant. 40 years later, in the study of this massive revelation of God, as it's alive and speaking, as you open that Bible, guess what? I still am learning more. I'm still being reminded of the depth. I'm still astounded at God. That's why I can bow my knee to God and not demons and not man. So point one, do they know the difference between God, capital G, and the man, the gods of men, the gods of Egypt, the gods of the Greeks, the gods of India, the gods, small g. I mean, among India, there's 330 million deities, they call them, finite beings, fallen ones, real non-human entities. Now, point two tonight is Artilex, the god machines, that have the idea of those in the world of artificial intelligence building machines that are so beyond humanity, so beyond anything else, that they're now being called the god machines. And there's great fear among those who have worked in the development of it, worked in the study of it, know it very, very well. They believe these machines, Elon Musk does. We know that the author of The Grand Design, the scientist who just passed away not too long ago, we know that he feared. We know that others do. Many of the scientists, they fear the destruction of humanity in the development of artificial intelligence. It is here. It is the future. And I'm saying, as a young biblical theologian, I'm saying that it's connected directly to what God already knows in Armageddon, and the development that's going to push humanity to the brink, at least feeling the sense of human extinction and environmental extinction. It's going to come. Now, point three is Artilex, the inspiration of the fallen ones. Artilex, point four. Artificial intelligence, is it a vehicle for an entity? And then five, Artilex, ultimately, and I'm going to say this right now, depending on how far we get into this today, Artilex ultimately deal with weaponization. I'm going to say that the intent behind, the spiritual intent, the entities that breathe, the ideas, the blueprints that are guiding the development, the ultimate end of this is the weapons of Armageddon. The weapons to kill a god. How can they kill God? How can they knock God out of existence? Can you imagine? You ever walk through a room or have a lamp somewhere, and somehow you hit the cord with your foot, or you did whatever you did, and you pulled the cord, the plug came out. When the plug comes out, of course, the light goes off, or anything else goes off. It's. I think there are those. I mean, here's where finite minds and dark finite minds. Well, Satan, the fallen cherub, Isaiah 14, remember? I think there's those that think they can unplug God and the lights of God, per se, go out. As if God was plugged in. They don't even know the theological attribute of acidity. I'll talk about it tomorrow because it's astounding. If you're a believer, do you know the acidity of God? Do you know that's part of his existence? It simply has the idea God plugs into nothing. Your smartphone might be plugged in right now so that it can get recharged in the revelation of God. God, he doesn't plug in. There's no losing charge. There's no battery. There's nothing outside of God that keeps God alive. His existence, we read in Colossians, sustains, upholds the existence of the entire material universe, even the air you breathe. So again, the picture and the question I would bring to the folks in that world of artificial intelligence, the God machine developments, and all the rest of that. Number one, do you really understand? Let me read a little bit of Hugo. This is just one of the chapters from his book on Artilex and the Artilex War. How will the Artilex War start? By Hugo de Garris. Quote, this chapter attempts to predict with a greater level of detail than I have in the past how I think the Artilex War will start. It should be obvious to anyone that if I am correct in saying that this great war is coming, killing billions of people, he calls it gigadeath. Gigadeath. Well, in the biblical prophetic insight, there's gigadeath. Did you know that? In Revelation 6, the pale white, pale green horse, the content of that prophecy predicts gigadeath. Here's what he goes on. Hugo goes on to say this. Over the issue of species dominance, it's all over that issue. It's over, he's talking about the entire down-the-road fear of an Ardalek war involving Gigadeth, billions dying. It's all about species dominance. It's all about the Hatfields and the McCoys when it comes down to it, the gangs. Should humanity build Ardaleks, artificial intellects, godlike, massively intelligent machines with mental capacities? Listen, this is Hugo, one of the world's leading experts on artificial intelligence and Ardaleks. Here's what he says. Quote, what is an Ardalek? Here's what he says. Artificial intellects, godlike, massively intelligent machines with mental capacities trillions of times above human level, then these events will be the most significant to happen to humanity this century. A realization that is both humbling and extremely sobering. So says the cutting edge of the Ardalek development. Now, it goes on to say this, and I'm just going to read this. I put it on your life notes if you want to download, and if you want to go on the web and find the entire book, or you can buy the book, I think, for like $140, $150 now. Or you can download the PDF file. Let's hope that he writes more. And I've got three or four others that I'm reading and looking into right now. Now, here's what he goes on to say, quote, "Before I start making predictions..." Now listen, here's Hugo. He's making predictions based on the crunching of sequential technology. "Before I can start making predictions, giving more or less a step-by-step timeline on how I see things heating up, leading eventually to war, let me begin by spelling out the issue that lies behind the biggest question of the 21st century. Here it is. Should humanity build Ardaleks?" And of course, he says no. Many others saying no. The Chinese are doing it. There's numerous nations are doing it. And it's all about dominance, and it's all about weaponization. But what they're not saying, what Hugo doesn't know, and what they don't know, something's breathing down their necks for a conceivable human or something dominance. New World Order dominance, coming Ardalek being, hybrid being, Antichrist. Let me go back to what he's saying here. Quote, "I am a numbers person," he says. "Now that I am formally retired, I spend my time making YouTube lecture videos, electronic libraries in PhD level pure math, and math physics." He goes on to talk about what he's doing now. But he says this, within the next few decades, not even in the 22nd century, but within the lifetimes, listen, within the lifetimes of most us, as I'm reading this to you, he now is saying this could all happen in our lifetime. In less than the next decade, 10 years, here's what he says, quote, "Humanity will be able to put more computing capacity in a single grain of nanotech sand than the estimated equivalent of the human brain by a factor of a quintillion, a million trillion times." Did you hear that? That the development in this world of artificial intelligence, in Ardaleks, and what they conceive as God machines, because their only concept of God is finite, but it's pretty huge. That humanity will be able to put more computing capacity in a single grain of nanotech sand than the estimated equivalent of the human brain by a factor of a quintillion, a million trillion times. This giant number comes from physics comps, or the physics of computation. It's that kind of calculation, and when it comes down to God, can you calculate God? That's the one of the attributes of God, infinity, immeasurability. There's no ability for Hugo or anyone else to the physics of computation don't fit. There's no ability to do calculation from a finite point because you can't get to the end. Here's what he says finally, which I will give here since it is the basis of the whole discussion of this chapter and the dominant underlying reality of 21st century politics. And I'm going to stop there because of the time today. I'm going to let you know right now that, and I was concerned about this, that the life notes that I'm giving you part one right now, and I'll go to part two tomorrow using the same two pages. And I gave you enough links on your life notes page four to look up a lot of things on Hugo de Geers and others, and maybe you're listening and you're in the backdrop of all of this, and you know this stuff. But I'm going to say at the end of the 5 points I'll try to spell out tomorrow, and obviously we're going to continue this. It may be a five-part series. I might break it down to that. But today, the God machines, really small g, the Artelex, in the context of biblical prophecy, in the context of human calculation, the concerns. So I have on page 3 of 7, what to watch for. I'll talk about that tomorrow. What to pray against. Can you pray against dark side presence when it comes to their backing of the drug trade and pharmacon, the backing of human sexual decadence and human trafficking, the backing of the development of ritual and so forth, the backing of a lot of things? This is why I'm going to scream to the church about becoming the powerhouse God intended in the context of the intercession, advancing the cause, the most important cause, the kingdom of God, and to pray against some of the rest of this. So what to pray against, we'll talk about that tomorrow too. And then why witness now? Why be a powerful witness to the world now? Let me give you one verse. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, this good news. I'm not ashamed of it in the face of Hugo, of Ray Kurzweil, of any intellect, of any Satan, it doesn't make any difference. I know the brilliance of the gospel. I know the hero of humanity. I know that the totality of deity came in human form. Logos, that which is behind all that exists. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was, is, always was. God came here and lived among us. Well, more than just lived among us. What else did he do? What else did he do? Well, he's here in every aspect. And the cross, you remember what Jesus did in John 17? I'll give you this tonight. Return to me the glory I had with you before the creation of the world. Have you read that? Have you read that lately? I think it's an important part to read. I think that when you start thinking in terms of well, your walk, your life, all that you are, all that you're going to be. I mean, is it related to God? Is that where we're going to go back to? I think it's important we do. Let me encourage you tonight as we're ending tonight, Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. We love you tonight. Appreciate you being here. Keep us in your prayers. Keep us in support, I pray. I want to say goodnight tonight with this. Love you all.
Studying about that good old way, and who shall wear a starry crown? Good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, come on down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown? Oh, brothers, let's go down, come on down, come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear a starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, fathers, let's go down, come on down, come on down. Oh, fathers, let's go down, down in the river to As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the robe and crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, mothers, let's go down, come on down, don't you want to go down? Come on, mothers, let's go down, down in the river to As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sinners, let's go down, come on down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray.